You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G, D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team, 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 oh.
Yo, Dodger fans, welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. This is the daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I'm Vince Samperio of Chavez Ravine Fiends. With me, as pretty much always, is Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential. Now, Jeff, I was going to go with a different greeting and see how far we could take it going back and forth, but I know I'm going to lose to you in that, so I just kept it with the yo-yo-yo.
Well, I'm glad that I've created that myth that I'm super creative, because I don't think I would have remembered to do something different tomorrow. So,
well, all right. Fair. Yeah. But either way, we are here to talk about the Dodgers, obviously, to keep our all-time Dodgers team going. We got shortstop and left field today. But before we get into all that, a quick reminder to subscribe to Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts. And when you get in your car in the morning, or if you're at home, tell your smart device to play podcasts Locked On Dodgers. No news on the Dodgers side of things. Potential Dodger, depending how things went this season and how it played out. Noah Syndergaard will undergo Tommy John surgery and be out until 2021.
It was probably more of a pipe dream based on the Mets not being good, and then the Mets deciding and the Dodgers being willing to offer, you know, a deal substantial enough. But either way, it was a possibility, but now it is no longer a possibility for this year.
Yeah, it's a bummer for anybody who likes Syndergaard or likes exciting, hard-throwing pitchers. Because that's a bummer for him. Obviously, it doesn't directly affect the Dodgers very much, but it's definitely disappointing for him and for the Mets.
Yeah. All right, moving into shortstop position on our best all-time Dodgers voting and team. And the four choices were Pee Wee Reese, Bill Russell, Corey Seager, and Maury Wills. Pee Wee Reese was number one with 53% of the vote. Maury Wills was second with 19% of the vote. Corey Seager, 17%. And Bill Russell, 11%. Jeff, did that shake out how you thought?
Pee Wee Reese is definitely the right answer. On a per season, per plate appearance basis, you could maybe make a case for Corey Seager, but Seager just hasn't played long enough. In fact, Seager wasn't even in the top four in WAR. I actually bumped Seager in there over Bill Dolan, who was actually a little bit ahead of him in WAR, but played for the Dodgers from 1899 to 1911. And so I didn't see much point putting him in there when he wasn't going to get any votes anyway. I think Pee Wee Reese is definitely the right answer. I was more interested to see who would finish in what order on the undercard, because I was pretty sure Reese would win. Maury Wills is second in WAR with 32.1, but that was in 14 seasons. On a per plate appearance basis, Corey Seager has basically less than about 2/7 of the plate appearances that Maury Wills had, and has about half the WAR. And so Seager has been the better player, especially when you factor in the playing time he's missed and stuff. When he's been on the field, he's been the better player. Maury Wills is obviously a Dodger legend, and he did provide more value because he played more. And so I don't think there's really a wrong second place there. Bill Russell was just a little bit behind Wills and WAR in quite a bit more playing time. I think the voters probably got this one just about exactly right.
Yeah. The funny part is between the four of them, there's only two Gold Glove awards, and they're both belong to Maury Wills. So I thought that was interesting. You know, the Dodgers have had a lot of good defensive shortstops, but they're usually not good at hitting as well. They've never really had the dynamic shortstop that can do both. So, or at least not. Well, they had Jimmy Rollins, but he wasn't good at when they got him. But yeah, no real surprises here. Pee Wee Reese is number one. Hopefully, you know, and if we do this again in like 5 to 10 years, if we're still doing this, maybe Corey Seager will be the right answer because he had a prolonged Dodger career that was very, very good. But if not, it's not a bad guy to have at short in Pee Wee Reese.
Yeah, and to be fair, Maury Wills doesn't buck the trend of either of being good on defense and offense because he really wasn't much of a hitter. His career OPS plus was 88. So, you know, as a for a shortstop, he was a fine hitter for a shortstop in the 60s because shortstops in the 60s weren't expected to hit at all. And so 88 means he was 12% worse than league average of all players. I assume that that would have been maybe I'll look into this at some point and report back. But I assume 88 for a shortstop in the 60s was actually a little bit above average. But yeah, I mean, his value came on the bases and on defense for the most part. Obviously, he stole 104 bases in 1962 when he won the MVP award. And if my Uncle Jim is listening, I'm sorry. Sorry, Jim. I know Willie Mays deserved that MVP. Uncle Jim still hasn't forgiven Maury Wills for stealing the MVP from Willie Mays in 1962. But yeah, I mean, Maury Wills' value came on the bases and in the field.
Yeah. And honestly, I didn't, like, early on when I was becoming a Dodger fan and learning about everything, I assumed Maury Wills was an outfielder because of his speed. It wasn't until, I don't remember how many years ago, but that I realized he was short. It was a while ago, but it was deep enough into, you know, my baseball knowledge, career, whatever you want to call it, that I realized, oh, he played infield.
Yeah, and with his speed and defense, I'm sure he could have been a good center fielder.
Yeah.
He didn't have the power to play a corner outfield spot, but he could have been a center fielder.
Yeah, yeah. So shortstop, fairly easy. So, Jeff, you got anything else to add before we head to left field?
Just a quick comment on the overall black hole that shortstop has been. I kind of mentioned this on yesterday's episode that left field is kind of a black hole, but shortstop is too, because I set the minimum at 10 career WAR as a shortstop for the Dodgers, and only 7 guys even show up. So you got Pee Wee Reese at 68.2, clear Hall of Famer, deserving. Maury Wills, 32.1. Bill Russell, 31.3. Bill Dahlin, 20.7. Corey Seager and Rafael Furcal tied at 15.7. And then Tommy Corcoran, who played in the 1800s, at 10.5. And that's it. I mean, that is, and obviously, Maury Wills played shortstop for the Dodgers for a long time. Pee Wee Reese did for a long time. Bill Russell did for a long time. And so, I mean, those three guys basically cover 40 plus years of Dodger shortstops. But still, I mean, for a team that has been around as long as the Dodgers have, to only have 7 guys who've racked up 10 WAR as a shortstop is pretty crazy. If I drop it down to 3 WAR, that only doubles the list. Then you're getting down into guys like Cesar Asturias at 3.7 WAR, Dave Anderson, who I think he was a starter one time in his life. The Dodgers just have not had many good shortstops, but they do have one Hall of Famer and one other legend at least, and you know, Corey Seager, who has a lot of potential. So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, definitely interesting. And Francisco Lindor could have helped in that regard, but maybe another year that'll happen. All right, we are going to come back and talk about left field. But before that, let's talk about scales. You might not like stepping on scales, but guess what? It might be because you haven't had the right scale. A company called Withings produced the world's first smart scale, and they're still the best. Tom's Guide rated Withings Body Plus the best overall smart scale of 2020. And if you're looking to lose weight, willpower is key, but so is having the right tools. And Withings smart scales are known for durability, exceptional user-friendly design. You can step on and your data from every weigh-in will sync automatically to the free app, which is available on iOS and Android. and it uploads via Wi-Fi or Bluetooth. A lot of smart scales don't have the Wi-Fi option, so you need to have your phone on you for the Bluetooth. But with the Wi-Fi, it automatically syncs up, gives you your weight, full body composition, weight trend, even a local weather report. And the scale can support up to 8 users. So you guys can, sharing is caring in the household, or if you want to invite friends over after the social distancing is over. So right now, you can get 25% off of Withings Body Plus at withings.com for a very limited time. Go to withings.com, that's withings.com/MLB to get 25% off of Body Plus Body Composition Scale. That's withings.com/MLB for 25% off. Go do it and stay locked on Dodgers. All right, so being home a lot, I've been watching a lot of 30 for 30s. As I mentioned the other day, it was linked to a 30 for 30, my obscure former Dodger. Today is the same. I watched Fernando Nation, which I'd already seen before, but I wanted to watch it again. And I was going to pick a player from Fernando's technically rookie year when he won Rookie of the Year in 81. I wanted to find the player with the worst war, but I believe it was someone we already had done. So then I went to 1980, which was when he actually made his major league debut, and found the player with the worst war. And I believe it was Rick Sutcliffe, which we've either already done or he's not obscure enough in that sense. I went up to the next one, and it was a guy named Don Stanhouse, who pitched 1 year for the Dodgers in 1980 and had a war of negative 0.7. In terms of Dodgers career, that's pretty much all it was for Don Stanhouse. Not too much, but on his Wikipedia page, there's a couple of funny anecdotes. And funnily enough, which is not a word, but I made it, his picture on Wikipedia is in a Dodger hat. And looks like a signed photo. So whoever uploaded it uploaded a signed photo. But he had funny hair, Harpo Marx style hair, as it says. And
can you tell me who Harpo Marx is?
Was he the guy that smashed watermelons?
No, that's Gallagher.
Wasn't he Harpo Marx? No, he's part of the Marx Brothers, but yeah. Are they comedians? Comedians,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they were kind of comedy movies. Kind of like the not quite like the Three Stooges, but a similar kind of goofy slapstick comedy musical group. With his brothers Groucho and Chico.
Got it. Yeah, so I guess he had pregame batting practice antics where he would let out primal screams that would entertain early ballpark arrivals. He was quickly labeled Stan the Man Unusual, a pun or play on the nickname Stan the Man for Stan Usual. The other part that was funny was he was a closer and he pitched for the Orioles. And it said he had a reputation of walking batters he was not willing to face, which would lead to dangerous situations, obviously in closer situations. And his manager at the time was Earl Weaver, who would smoke a lot. And in that case, Earl Weaver nicknamed him Stanhouse Full Pack, referring to the number of cigarettes consumed while watching him pitch. So, yeah, pretty funny that there was a known reputation of him walking batters he didn't want to face. Maybe that's why he's an obscure former Dodger and not a great former Dodger.
Yeah, his career walks per nine is higher than his career strikeouts per nine, which is usually not the key to success as a pitcher. 5.4 walks per nine, only 4.8 strikeouts per nine. And he was a closer. The late 70s were a different time.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's the obscure former Dodger. Not a bad one. I'm taking the Jeff route and trying to get better stories. So hopefully that worked.
Yo, yo, yo.
All right, so let's get into the left field. We had a very close vote between two on this one. The four choices were Dusty Baker, Tommy Davis, Gary Sheffield, and Zach Wheat. Gary Sheffield won with 36.5% of the vote. Dusty Baker was a very close second with 35.7% of the vote. Tommy Davis had 17.4% and Zach Wheat had 10.4%. Jeff, obviously the list is maybe a little underwhelming in general, and I'm sure you have something to back that up as well. But were you surprised with Gary Sheffield topping out and winning?
I wasn't necessarily surprised. I think the voters definitely got it wrong. I think Zach Wheat is clearly the best left fielder in Dodger history. The problem is not many people have heard of him, and you know, he played for the Dodgers and the, you know, the Robins, I guess, from 1909 to 1926. But he played almost his entire career with the Dodgers, other than one last half a season with the Philadelphia A's. And he was, I mean, he is a Hall of Famer, and he's a deserving Hall of Famer, 60.1 career WAR, just head and shoulders when you look at career contribution with the Dodgers, playing time and everything. He might not have been at any given point as good as, you know, Gary Sheffield was at his peak, but he was no slouch, and he's a legend. And I mentioned this a couple months ago when I did Dazzy Vance as my obscure former Dodger, and we'll probably talk about Dazzy Vance some more in a couple days when we're doing starting pitchers. But I think Zach Wheat suffers from the same problem as Dazzy Vance, which is that he played in a time before uniform numbers. I think if Zach Wheat had a uniform number when he played for the Dodgers, that uniform number would be slapped up on the wall at Dodger Stadium, and everybody would know who Zach Wheat was because they would look at the numbers and say, oh, who's that? Oh, that's Zach Wheat. Oh, yeah, he's best left fielder in Dodger history, Hall of Famer. But because he didn't have a uniform number, there's nothing to slap up on the wall at Dodger Stadium, and therefore people have forgotten about him. But in my mind, he's clearly the best left fielder in Dodger history. What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, obviously by the numbers he is, and different, obviously a way different time in the game. So, you know, normal fans with Sheffield and Baker, you know, you see the home runs and you see the production. Zach, we didn't really have that, but for his time, he was really good. But, you know, honorable mention in this category is definitely going to Manny Ramirez, who only was with the team, what, like 1.5 years, technically 2.5 years technically, but 1.5 playing or whatever it was. He's always going to be my favorite Dodger left fielder, at least for the time being.
Yeah, I mean, Manny was great in the short time. He only had 892 plate appearances as a Dodger. But yeah, you know, left field, it drops off pretty quick. And there's actually Jimmy Sheckard is actually second in career WAR as a Dodger left fielder, quite a ways behind Zach Wheat. But he played from 1897 to 1905, so I left him out. Then you have Dusty Baker, Gary Sheffield. You know, Sheffield put up 17 WAR in only 4 seasons with the Dodgers. So, yeah, I mean, he was great. But he only played 4 seasons with the Dodgers. So it's hard for me to vote for him. Then you have Wally Moon, who had more O's in his last name than eyebrows on his head. You have Manny Mota, who was really more a pinch hitter. Joe Kelly, not the pitcher, but the left fielder. And then a bunch of guys you never heard of. Darby O'Brien, Rube Bresler. And then there's other guys who had some big moments, obviously, you know, like Manny Ramirez. Obviously, Kirk Gibson is on this list, 9.8 WAR as a Dodger, but definitely a legend. Sandy Amoros had a great catch in the 55 World Series. Lou Johnson, Sweet Lou, had some big moments for the Dodgers in the mid-60s. Scored the only run in Sandy Koufax's perfect game, I believe. You know, then you have guys like Jason Worth, who was good later. Brian Jordan, who was better at football than baseball. And yeah, just kind of a mixed bag in left field. Cal Daniels is on here, who was famous in my mind as a child for standing 35 feet away from home plate when he was up to bat, and then wondering why he couldn't hit a lefty. Well, maybe you're too far from the plate, dude. I don't know if Cal Daniels was actually as bad against lefties as he was in my mind when I was a kid, but man, he looked bad. So, yeah, not a lot to choose from. Top heavy at the top. Obviously, you know, you have guys like Tommy Davis, who he played for the Dodgers only for eight seasons and was not great, but he was on 1, 2, 3 World Series champion teams. And so that kind of gives him some legendary status with the team. Dusty Baker obviously was on a World Series champion team and 2 World Series losing teams. Yeah, I don't know. Really, really, really mixed bag in left field.
Yeah, yeah, it's definitely a hodgepodge. It's kind of funny when, you know, you think about the Dodgers and their great history and everything else. But as we're running through a lot of these, there's not, you know, we've already had a few positions that are pretty weak overall. And it's just, you know, interesting to see that. I'm sure it's probably the same for a lot of teams other than the Yankees, who've had a lot of guys at a lot of different positions over the years. But it's just, to me, it's like, wow, there's not really a lot to work with at a lot of some of these positions.
Yeah, it's, you know, and even in recent Dodgers, I mean, if you look at the last couple of years' teams, obviously Cody Bellinger was the MVP last year. But beyond Bellinger, you know, you had a lot of good, solid players more than, you know, the last few years have been a case of putting a lot of good players on the field rather than a couple great players. And so, you know, obviously adding in Bellinger as a great player last year too. But guys like, you know, Max Muncy might not ever amass enough war to ever show up on one of these polls, you know. But right now, Max Muncy is very important to the Dodgers' success, and he's a big reason they won 106 games last year. But if we did this 10 years from now, I don't know if Max Muncy would even be one of the options on at any position.
Yeah, yeah, that's definitely true. And, you know, something we talked about yesterday, like even Eric Karros, who, you know, at least in, people in our minds was like, oh, yeah, he was really, really good. And offensively, yes, he was good for the most part. But when you look at, you know, the war and the other numbers, he wasn't as good as we thought. So just different things like that that, you know, we don't really – we think of when you follow the team all the time and you think of, you know, players when you're growing up and everything, you see them a lot better than they probably were, or you see them not as good as they were. Like, you know, I think some people take a lot of the guys we've had success for granted the last few years, but it's just a matter of being in the moment. And then when you look back at it, you see really how good or how not as good they were.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, that'll do it for today's episode. We are going to come back tomorrow to finish position players with center and right field. Thank you for listening to Locked On Dodgers. Make sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and Apple as well, preferably if you have it on your smart device. If you want to help us out in other ways besides subscribing, you can download and listen every day. Tell your friends, tell your family, post about us on social media, rate and review us on Apple, or if your podcast app has ratings and reviews. If you do want to follow us on social media or shout us out on social media, Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. Jeff is on Twitter at Snydog. I'm at Vince Samperio. If you want to call and leave us a voicemail or shoot us a text, you can do so at 323-863-LOCK. That's 323-863-5625. And final way to get a hold of us is email lockedondodgers@gmail.com. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us. When you get in your car, tell your smart device to play a podcast, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one.
And now, tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Locked On MLB. Oakley Dokley.
Say D. I say D-O. D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs. They're my Los Angeles. Your Los Angeles. Our Los Angeles.
Do you think we'll really win the pennant?
Bye!